Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, may we all hear your word, respond to your word, and take comfort in your word. It's in your name we pray. Amen. You know, fishing can be a great way to spend time with friends or family, with your children, with your grandchildren. And Luke, this morning in his gospel, is telling us a great fishing story. Jesus is standing by the lake, and there's all this crowd that is just closing in on him that wanted to hear from Jesus. And Jesus notices two boats, but he notices the fishermen are already washing their nets. And so Jesus steps in the boat that belonged to Peter, and Peter didn't mind because the boat is not sitting there being used at all, and it was really no use the night before when he tried to go out and catch fish, so somebody might as well use it. So Jesus gets in, and he sits down to preach, and that was a normal thing in this time. Whenever you're going to preach, you sat down. And then after he's done with the sermon, he says to Simon, go in the deep water, throw out your nets out for a catch. And Peter says in a very respectful way, Master, we were out all night, we didn't catch a thing. You have to remember, Peter and these guys aren't weekend warrior fishermen. These are professional fishermen. Like, Peter would be invited to the Bassmaster Classic coming up here in Knoxville in 2023. Like, he would have sponsorships with Yeti Coolers, Cabela's, Bass Pro Shops, and Tracker Boats. That's the type of fisherman he's had. He is. He has all of the gear, all of the hooks, the best nets, everything. And then there was Jesus, who maybe at one time had a Spider-Man rod and reel as a child. Because he was a hobby fisherman. He was a carpenter. What did he know about fishing? And so here's a list of why Peter should probably not listen to Jesus when it comes to fishing. First, again, he's a carpenter. That's his vocation. They're in the lake around noon, which means this is not the most opportune time to fish. You don't start fishing around noon. Also, Jesus is telling him where to throw his nets, but he has no fancy GPS system. He has no fishing technology where to actually know for sure that he's going to catch fish. After all, who's the professional here? It's Peter, for sure. And then all of these crowds that followed Jesus to hear Jesus, they're still around the perimeter of the lake. I've only fished about 10 times in my entire life. But one thing I know is you can't be loud when you're fishing until you catch something. And then you can be as loud as you want, right? But until then, you can't be loud. Yet here's this crowd. Surely they're laughing, they're talking, they're making noise. That's not going to make fishing any easier for Peter. So what would you do in this situation if you were Peter? Here's what Peter does. He goes against all his fishing wisdom and experience. He denies his fruitless night of fishing. And he just simply trusts in the word of Jesus by saying this, Master, it's your word. I'll let down my nets. Think about how big a deal this is. There's a professional fisherman. He could easily look at all of the evidence and the common sense of fishing, which tells him that right now, as Jesus is telling him to fish, it's not an ideal time. This act was counter to all wisdom and reason, all experience that he had had as a fisherman. But Peter isn't holding on to his wisdom and reason. He's holding on to the word of Jesus and trusting and the word of Jesus. So Simon takes Jesus' word and shows that he has faith and trust in Jesus way more than his own abilities and in what it means to catch fish. How often do you and I take Jesus at his word and just simply trust him? Many times we may try to rely on our own wisdom and experience. We may do things like this. We may go, hey, Jesus, it's okay if you're the passenger in the car, but I'm going to still drive. You can be here. I want you to kind of help out. You can be my navigator, but I'm going to take care of it. See, a lot of times we act like with Jesus that we're saved not by grace alone. We act like we're saved by grace a lot. Like, Jesus, you do 90% of what it takes for me to get salvation, and I'll do the 10%. I'll do the rest. So what does this look like practically in life? You get a bad medical report. And what happens? You try to get online. You try to figure out a cure and what to do, what type of treatment you need to take before you go to the Lord in prayer. If you're worried about inflation and the economy, how it affects your paycheck or your retirement or your stocks, maybe even how it affects you just praying for groceries for yourself or your growing family, what do? We go to everything else. We check out, try to figure out how we're going to figure out more money. What are we going to do? Let's move that stock around. Let's do all these things before we go to God's word. Having a relationship issue? We seek every quick fix, self-help book, blog, podcast, and everything in between before going to Jesus. And these soon-to-be disciples, they show us there's a better way than that. They take Jesus at his word. And it says at once, their nets are so full of fish, they start to tear. See, all Simon, James, and John had was Jesus' word. Friends, that was enough. They would need that reminder that the word of Jesus is enough as they battled the Jews and those who did not believe in Jesus. Throughout their ministry of following Jesus, they would need to be reminded constantly that only the word of Jesus saves. It's nothing they do. It's simply by Jesus. And friends, Jesus is all you need, even when you think you need something more. When you have faith, the faith that Jesus gives you, that's enough. That's the first thing Jesus shows us in this miracle. A second thing Jesus shows us in this miracle is that when he gives, he's never stingy. Because look at how many fish he gave. He provided so much that James and John had to pull their boat up and both boats begin to sink because Jesus is saying, hey, I'm going to come through. I'm showing you. I'm giving you so many fish that the boats are sinking. Just trust in my word. Just trust me. This little detail also teaches us something about how Peter, James, and John would soon be fishing for people. As James and John had to pull their boat up and they kind of had to attack this as a team, that's kind of how you have to do ministry when you're trying to share the gospel. You have to do it in community. You can't do it in isolation by yourself. That's just not how it works. Look at later what Jesus does. He sends his disciples out, not by themselves, but together. And so that little detail just shows us, hey, when you're fishing, a lot of times you can't just get the big catch in on your own. You need somebody maybe to try to catch the fish or just try to help, give you a little bit more strength because maybe you're tired. That's the same way it works when you're fishing for people. It takes a community. Once the reality of what happened sunk in for Simon Peter. He dropped at Jesus' knees, and he said, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." Have you ever noticed this before? Like, Peter's actually telling Jesus to leave. Like, depart from me. And part of it's he's freaked out. He's scared because of what just happened. He's a professional fisherman. He had no catch yesterday. All of a sudden, there's all these fish in the lake, right? And so this is concerning for him. And it even says in the text, everyone, James, John, and Peter, were all astonished, i.e., you could also say, afraid. And Jesus comforts them by saying what he says so many times in his word. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And he says, from now on, you're going to be fishers of men. And they share the good news, as they share the good news of Jesus. That's their new vocation. So they park their boats. They leave everything, and they follow Jesus. Isn't it cool how Peter, James, and John began following Jesus and reaching the world one person at a time? Notice here, it doesn't appear they're commanded by Jesus or they're called by him specifically. They just follow on their own accord to be fishers of men. They leave everything to share the love of Jesus with the world around them. They only rely on and trust in Jesus, and they take his word. Friends, today Jesus comes to you. He promises no sin, nothing you've ever said or done or thought will be held against you. Because Jesus rose from the dead. He's come to forgive you. He's taken all those sins up out of the water, through your baptism. When he drowned you, those sins were drowned as well. And when you came up out of the water, you were forgiven. You were redeemed because of Jesus and the work he's doing in your life. And he's teaching you and me today that through his word, he has come not to see you away, but instead he gives you a continuous overflow of grace and mercy that never ends. You can receive that gift and grace and mercy that's already yours through Jesus. And today he gives you an overflow of his gifts of blessing and mercy through communion. He says, your sins are forgiven. Just be renewed by me. Trust me. Take me at my word. So who are you going to call? When you need hope and rescue and redemption, the one who's already done it for you, Jesus, your Lord and Savior. Amen. Please rise.